Hey, my name's Ryan, and I'm here today with Jim, and we're on staff at the Summit Church, and we want to talk today about wisdom and what it means to live a wise life. And Jim, you've been living in the background for the last 6 or 8 months or so, and I thought it might be fun for you just to start and tell us what retired life is like, life as pastor emeritus instead of senior pastor.
It's sweet. Let me tell you, it's sweet. I love being pastor emeritus. It's just such a privilege, such an honor. I love this church, and I love what you're doing. I love the staff and the energy and the passion for the kingdom. It's just great stuff. And for me, retirement, it's kind of like if you ever listen to audiobooks, you listen to audiobooks, yeah. Podcasts, what speed do you listen to?
Always faster than one.
Exactly. What do you do? One and a half?
Two sometimes.
Yeah. Well, my whole life of ministry felt like it was 2+. Mm-hmm. And now I'm retired. It's kind of like I'm able to listen to podcasts at the regular speed, or maybe 1.25 if I get bored. It's sweet. I have time. I have time for people. I don't have crises that I'm juggling. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're in ministry, it's not just the family you're ministering in the moment. It's the family you need to minister to in the moments after and to come. And you always feel under the crunch.
Yeah.
And so it's a sweet spot to be emeritus. Don't even think about it. You've got 20 years before you can. What's it like to be senior pastor? Yeah. It's been 9 months.
The best part is when I look out during the service and I'm preaching, and there's Jim and there's Marianne sitting side by side in worship. Yeah. I love that.
That never happened. We could never go to church together.
I love seeing that. And I love having you as part of our church.
I love being here. It's a privilege. I love having you as my pastor.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks,
you bet.
Jim. Well, so we're in the middle of a series about wisdom.
Cool.
And when we talk about wisdom, I thought that it might be good if we had someone who was actually wise to talk about wisdom. So,
thank
you know,
you.
When you go to Taco Bell, you're sort of getting a taco. If you talk to me about wisdom, you would sort of be getting wisdom. You know, there's something about the real
deal. You're too modest, but you do go to Taco Bell. I doubt the wisdom of that, buddy.
I eat real tacos, Jim. So I thought today it would be good to hear from you about what wisdom is. So I wonder, what comes to your mind? What's the very first thing that pops in your mind when someone says the word wisdom?
Great question. I think it's about finding the point of faith and understanding where you live a no-regret life, where you come to the end of the day and you're able to pray, God, grant me the wisdom to be faithful in following you. Because following Jesus leads to life. Mm-hmm. And I think that when we talk about finding life, follow Jesus and find life, which you've been talking about, which we talk about all the time, that really is finding a wise life, because God always wants the very best for us in terms of a life that is faithful, true, and rich.
Mm. So what is the difference then between knowledge and wisdom?
Oh, yes. I think of knowledge, and I think of education, formal and informal, and it's crucial.
Right.
But that's different than wisdom, because there are well-educated people who have no wisdom nor common sense. I mean, that's really true. Obvious in our world today. I think it's a melding of the two. I think of my mother-in-law, who had an eighth grade education. I think of my grandfather, who had an eighth grade education. Mm. Yet both were very wise.
Yeah.
And steeped in scripture. And then I think how privileged we are to the learning opportunities. I think it's just crucial to bring that kind of balance that's knowledge and wisdom.
Yeah. In so many ways, wisdom is applying that knowledge that you have.
Absolutely.
So it's one thing to know it, right? And it's a different thing to live it out.
Exactly. It's the faith in practice.
Yeah, exactly. It's a biblical. And it's an incredible challenge, which I get the opportunity to see up close and in person as I raise teenage boys.
Yes, because judgment does play a role. And I remember those days when my son was in junior high school. Those were adventurous days.
They are. It's so much fun. And it's challenging sometimes as well. So, if you had to pick one, knowledge or wisdom, which one would you pick?
Wisdom. I really believe that knowledge you can always gain. Wisdom really develops with maturity and faith. And there are people who keep living the same life over and over and over and never seem to learn and continue to make the same mistakes. That's got to be heartbreaking for God, and it's clearly devastating for people.
Yeah.
So you can gain knowledge. I mean, there's a world of opportunity for you in terms of growing in knowledge. Wisdom really is, I think, what you develop in walking with Jesus.
Yeah, I heard somebody say recently that knowledge is seeing the red light and wisdom is hitting your brakes.
It's
making sure that you actually follow through on that knowledge
that's passed
through your mind. That's absolutely incredible. So I wonder for you, if growing in wisdom is important, but you need to have some knowledge in order to do that maybe.
True.
What are some of the ways that you grow in knowledge? And I think both about your personal spiritual practices and just about the things that you love. Anyone who knows you knows that you love to read war stories and those types. So how do you grow your knowledge? And then we'll get to how you grow your wisdom.
I read voraciously as an adult. I mean, I love school. I mean, I thought being a teacher was such a cool thing because a teacher has an opportunity to either instill a passion for knowledge and ignite a fire that never goes out, or actually some teachers, I'm embarrassed to say, extinguish that flame. My flame for math was extinguished at a young age. But my love for history, philosophy, religion, that was all inculcated by teachers who loved the subject that they were teaching. So I still avail myself to online classes. I love that kind of stuff. And I read more now. I'm reading 3-4 books a week and I'm loving it. I have time. And the other piece of it is surrounding yourself with people who are farther along the journey of wisdom than you are.
Yeah.
Wisdom and knowledge. I mean, I'm always struck by what I can learn from other folk.
And so how do you build that wisdom then in your life as you continue to see increased knowledge?
Oh, I think, you know, Scripture tells us that that Jesus is the one who gives us wisdom, and if you seek it, he'll deliver it. I think spending time in the presence of God is crucial. And then actually daring to lay your life before God and seek his guidance. Before I have an important meeting, well, this is back when I was working and had important meetings. When I was doing what you do now, I wouldn't go into a meeting without praying about it first, especially if it was a one-to-one or something that I knew was going to be freighted with a lot of importance or emotion. I'd pray and I'd ask God for wisdom, and it was amazing because I think God puts words in our mouths that are not original to us. They're a gift of God, and it's a gift of wisdom. So spending time with God is absolutely crucial.
Absolutely.
In prayer. Spending time in the Word is essential. Being in worship, you know, you talk about this stuff all the time. I love that. Is crucial because I walk out of worship and I feel more than I was when I walked in. I actually feel like my spirit's enlarged.
Yeah.
And all that's crucial.
So speaking of Scripture and finding wisdom in Scripture, what's your favorite verse that speaks to Scripture?
Ooh.
Or speaks to wisdom?
You know, I love when Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." For me, that passage from John sums it all up. I mean, that for me is the gospel within the gospel. Everybody points to John 3:16. I love that passage.
Yeah.
But when Jesus said, "I'm the way," it's clear that his purpose is to show us the path. When he talks about the truth in a world of that can't discern the truth, Jesus is the one who actually brings clarity and veracity. And finding the life is really what we're about. And I think that's what's so contagious about our faith.
Yeah.
We ought to live in such a way that people go, "Ooh, I want some of that." That joy, that irrepressible sense of delight, that sense of humor, and not taking yourself too seriously, but taking the opportunities to serve.
Well, the idea for this whole wisdom series came from my own reading of the book of Proverbs. And I just jotted down some of the things that Proverbs says about wisdom that struck me, that led me to think we need to talk about this. Proverbs calls wisdom a tree of life. a sister, a beloved member of the family, which I think is just an incredible word picture.
That's great.
Wisdom brings joy. Wisdom saves us from evil. And that is so incredibly true, and we need that this year, don't we? It's an election
year.
Desperately. It's going to be divisive. There is no question about that. So when you think about the role of wisdom in our life and how it plays itself out in our interactions in the public arena, in our interactions with people maybe who don't share the same faith we do, how does wisdom lead you and guide you in those interactions?
Oh, that's such an excellent question. That's one you should wrestle with as you're listening, because I really think that wisdom is what helps us maintain a perspective that is healthy for us and a blessing for others. Mm. Wisdom is what puts everything in perspective, because in our culture today, it's so easy to be caught up with the rubies.
Mm, yeah.
Or if Solomon was writing today, it wouldn't be rubies, it would be Bitcoin.
Yeah.
You know? And it's so easy to be snookered by the world we live in, because the very things that they tell you are most important are not. And it's only when you've lived life long enough and you've been with people at the end of their life, when they really have an opportunity to assess and reevaluate the choices that they made and think in retrospect what they would have done differently, that triggers more consideration of what wisdom is all about than anything. Our mortality, in light of eternity in Christ. Mm.
And those moments are so incredibly powerful. And you see in those moments people who have lived with wisdom.
Yes.
Because they've done it over the course of their life, over the course of time. So
wisdom,
the hard thing about wisdom for someone like me, is wisdom is not a one-time decision.
No.
Wisdom is continually applying the knowledge, expressing discernment, following Jesus day after day after day.
Well said. Absolutely.
And that's our goal.
Well, earlier I said wisdom comes down to a no-regret life. I really want to come to the end of my days and be surrounded by the people I love and be able to give a blessing to them and experience their blessing and remind them how much I love them. And they'll know it's true because they'll see it in the evidence of a life lived with wisdom, grace, and love.
I love that, Jim. And the life you live is pointing in that direction. And so
Thank you.
Quick hitters before we go, okay?
All right.
So just topics I'm going to give you. And I just want the first bit of wisdom that comes to your mind.
Talk about making it interesting.
You ready for this?
Okay. No, I don't think I'm ready for this.
Let's talk about if you had to give someone a bit of wisdom about their finances, what would you say?
Ooh, invest now in your future.
What does that mean? What should you invest in?
Carl Tonges was a retired banker when I was starting out in ministry. He knew I tithed to the church, and he said, Jim, that's great, but that's half of what you need to do. He said, you need to be investing 10% of your income into your future. Mm. And that was when I was 23 years old.
Yeah.
And so we wouldn't be in the situation we're in today if I hadn't followed his advice. So invest in your own future. It's absolutely crucial.
I've heard it said, when you receive your paycheck, you should do three things. You should give, you should save, and then you should live.
There you go.
That's the dose of advice.
There you go.
So if you gave someone advice about relationships, what's the one piece of advice you would give them?
Oh, speak slowly, act lovingly, and be more patient than you think you should be.
And that was three pieces of advice, and that's one piece of wisdom.
That's one piece of wisdom, three pieces of what? And don't ask me if I always did that, because the answer would not be yes. There were times I didn't follow those three exactly.
Headed in the right direction.
And I'm working
always
at it. A work
loving,
in progress.
Always growing.
Always growing.
Yeah, because we never arrive.
We never arrive.
And you never
till we arrive in heaven.
You never have all the wisdom you're going to have.
Oh, John Wesley, going on to perfection.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, will we attain it in this life? No, but if we're not striving for perfection, for excellence, then we're settling for mediocrity. And we see way too much of that today.
Mm-hmm. Excellence in the way that we love God.
Yes.
In the way that we treat other people.
Yes.
In the way that we live our lives.
It all comes down to the golden rule.
Yeah.
Love God and others as yourself. Good stuff.
Good stuff. That's awesome. Well, Jim, thank you for blessing me with your wisdom and all of these fine folks as well. It's a privilege to know you and to have you as my mentor. Thank you for coming today.
No, the pleasure, the privilege is mine. I really feel so blessed by God. Thanks for all you're doing. You're doing a phenomenal job at this church, and I'm thrilled to be in a church serving and sacrificing in a church that's led with real grace and wisdom. Great work.
Thanks, Jim.